disciples prepare ourselves to hear again the message of the angels and in heart and mind to go to Jerusalem and see this thing which has come to pass in the babe lying in manger. Let us make this place glad with our carols of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of the whole world and for all people, for peace upon earth, for Christ the earth that Christ came to save, for love and unity within the one church he built, and for goodwill among all people, especially for this, our community. We particularly at this time let us remember the poor, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick, and those left mourning, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and little children. And may Almighty God bless us with God's grace. Christ give us the joys of everlasting life, the fellowship of citizens above. May the King of angels bring us forth. So the choir are going to sing to
as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The Holy Spirit will come on. she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Told them about this child. Thank you.
captivity, lasting 24 days, he wrote what became the most popular Cold War work ever. And speaking, of course, of Handel's Messiah. So after completing the well-known Alleluia chorus, he came out of his room and said to his servants, "I saw heaven open." So we shouldn't let decades of carol services and the delights of Handel's Messiah blunt our reaction to this amazing anticipation of Jesus the Messiah. 750 years before the first Christmas, a young and dynamic prophet called Isaiah heard the voice of God about the future and what was to come. This text has amazed Christians for the last 2,000 years. Jesus himself loved the book of Isaiah. He read it and he meditated on it and he quoted from it. Indeed, quotes from Isaiah pepper the whole of the New Testament, not least in the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, where we are left in no doubt at all that this baby born is Emmanuel, God with us. So the passage in Isaiah, which Jenny read to us, gives us four names we know so well: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Names actually matter in Hebrew culture, and Isaiah's names for Jesus are both amazing and theologically significant. So Paul will try and get an idea of what they signify for us today. Names, said one Bible commentator, Alec Mathia, sum up the character and declare the person. Get these names and you come very close to the heart of the Christian gospel. Shall I turn this off for a second? If you can't hear me, you'll have to let me know. So if you get these names, you come very close to the heart of the Christian gospel. We begin to understand and get Jesus. So we have one of the first names, Mighty God. There's no greater power in the universe than this. I need the assurance of this Mighty God, for I feel vulnerable, fragile, and sometimes completely overwhelmed. Or is there, there is the name Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father who cares for us, we, his daughters, and his sons, who never lets us down. The Everlasting Father, who is safe and dependable, someone who is with us when we feel alone and unappreciated. Paul is the name, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, someone who works deep well-being and who brings right relationships. Amazing news for those who lack peace with God or with one another. But there is also the first title, Wonderful Counselor. The authorised version, apparently, of the Bible and Handel's Messiah both insert a comma between these two words, Wonderful and Counselor. But the balance of expert opinion apparently concludes that the title should be one, i.e. Wonderful Counselor. So again, the commentator, Alec Mathia, explains that the sense is of wonder and of a counselor. It's the idea of something completely supernatural, bringing, he says, wisdom far, far above the human. This counselor has an extraordinary, breathtaking capacity to plan, to govern, and to execute policy and to deliver. We certainly need that certainly so many areas of society today. Jesus proves to be a supernatural source of extraordinary wisdom. And that is amazing news when we cry out, help, or I need help, I need all the help I can get. It makes sense of suffering in the world, in a sin-sick world, that someone knows exactly what is happening and why. The thing that we're not going to miss about these titles is that they are God titles. They are just a few descriptions of what God is like. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, and the Mighty God. But how does this make our lives any difference? Or to put it another way, so what? Well, these two words can seem contradictory. The word wonderful is more straightforward, it's almost Christmassy. It's the most wonderful time of the year. We'll be ringing in all the shops and cafes around Carlisle. It's a wonderful life. We'll be on TV for the 18th time. But the word counsellor is a little more tricky. A counsellor is someone that you need in a crisis when you're not entirely capable of things. 30 years ago, it was unheard of to admit to seeing the counsellor. But today, it's much better understood. There are a few of us who do not need to go at stressful points in our lives to someone when we feel we need help. It feels as though collectively, society can do with that now in these COVID-19 ridden times. Something seems to have gone very badly wrong. We live in very unsettled times, politically and economically. Society yearns to get back to normal, or at least to get back to some kind of new normal. It feels strange. As honest times, though, were even worse. He was prophesying in even darker times. The Assyrians were a growing threat at the border. There was a crisis of idolatry in the land. People were oppressing each other. There was a crisis of leadership and much more. In short, there was an existential crisis. Isaiah was living in dark times. So darkness in the Bible is always a picture not just of the social and political reality, but of the human heart. The picture in the Bible is utterly realistic and unsentimental. It's about what's going on, not just on the outside, but also on the inside in our human hearts. But the good news is that the light has dawned. Desperate times demand dramatic solutions, and God has one, and Isaiah announces it. For Isaiah, the focus of this is that a child is born and a son is given. It is the mystery of the incarnation. We want to know what God is like, then we need to look at Jesus. If you see Jesus, then you see God. And if you want to hear God speak, then you must listen to Jesus. You remember the reaction to Jesus even when he was 12 years old. And he got separated from his parents. They later found him in his father's house. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. E.J. Young, another Bible commentator, puts it well. The Old Testament, meaning of the word wonderful, compels us, he says, to the conclusion that it designates the Messiah as not just extraordinary, but as one who in his very person, in his very being, is a wonder. He surpasses human thought and power. He is God himself. So Jesus knows people. He knows us and how we are wired. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows us, each one, personally. Jesus knows our needs. That is because he has been here, he's walked in our shoes, he's lived our life, he's been tempted like we are, he's seen messed up people, he's seen addicted people, and he's seen failure. And he is sympathetic and compassionate like nobody else. He is the only one who can say to you, I know exactly how you feel. Jesus is the wonderful counselor because he has succeeded where we haven't. He knew what it was like to be wrong, to let down, to be betrayed, to be disappointed by his friends, but he was never bitter, he was unforgiving, he was never unforgiving, he was never selfish. He succeeded where we failed. And that too makes him a counsellor that can truly help us. So how does he help us today? Well, he helps us by filling us with his Holy Spirit. He is the one who Jesus called our helper and our counsellor, the one who lives within us. He is the one who is with us. So let me with prayer. Lord, we bow down before you in thankfulness. We bow down before you, mighty God. Help us to come to know you, Jesus, without any reservation. Help us to come to you, the wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, and to love you and to trust you at this Christmas time. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Thank you.